Viva la vegan!
Hello, my name is Jim Campbell, and today it's my turn to be Viva la vegan. Only joking. Look, I'm really honoured and privileged today to get this opportunity to interview the multi-talented and very charismatic Lee Chantel from Viva la Vegan. Hi Lee, how are you?
Hello, very good.
Lee, in 2013 you had one of the most fantastic years, may I say. Everything was just so positive and productive. Would you like to share some of the highlights?
Well, I travelled a lot. I was in Asia, coming to at the beginning of 2013, January, February, I was in Indonesia, I believe, and Vietnam. And then I came home for a friend's wedding.
Yeah.
So I had a vegan wedding, straight edge or alcohol free and vegan and eco-friendly wedding. That was really cool, down in Georgia. Then I was home for only a few months before I went overseas again. I went to America for 9 weeks.
Jet-setting vegan.
Yes. Then Cambodia for a month, then Indonesia again. And I was at various vegan and animal rights events, spoke at a lot of those, did a lot of interviews with people. A lot of content, I guess, was created, blogs, videos, podcasts.
Any sort of unforgettable moments with the, you know, sort of the different cultures and the different peoples?
I think for me, I really liked being in Asia in particular, just to see things from afar, like because I've been so immersed in the vegan community since 2006 at least, and like within Australia and even in America, and it was just really cool to just see things from afar and see, you know, what maybe some of my friends have been telling me all along, that, you know, and it was just good to just realize it's not the be-all end-all of everything, just because it has been my life for such a long time, it's not all that there is, and just open up to other things. And I just met so many amazing people, and you know, it really brought home to me that fact that just because someone's vegan doesn't mean they're a nice person, just because someone's, you know, not vegan doesn't mean they're not a great person. I met some really cool people and made some great friends.
And for anyone who's who hasn't been following you in sort of recent times, you did win an award in 2013 as well. How did you feel about that?
It was lovely.
Over the moon?
Some award things, I was sort of hesitant when Kathy Devine from Vegans Are Cool told me about it, actually, because I wasn't sure the voting process, and I wasn't sure. I didn't want it to be like a competitive thing, because I don't really agree with competition in that sort of arena. So that was a bit of a sort of thing for me, but she talked me around, and I am very blessed and humbled to receive the award.
But it must have been a real sort of validation of your work and efforts to date.
Definitely. And that, it's always good actually when you get those sort of things, because I remember when Supreme Master Ching Hai gave me an award in 2009 maybe.
Yeah.
And that was at a time when I really needed someone to believe in me and to make me go, yes, I'm on the right track. So it does sort of cement things for you, so it's lovely. Kathy does a great job.
That's great. And now look, we're into the third month of 2014 and it's still all systems go. Where does Lee Chantel get all the energy and motivation to keep going?
Well, I'm not sure.
From your mum and dad or?
No, they're pretty, I guess, you know, none of us are really good at not doing anything. So, probably from mum and dad, that sort of energy, I guess. And just good, I guess my parents are both earth signs as well, so I'm very into astrology, so very good grounding my parents gave me. And I'm a fire sign, Sagittarian.
So you're a sheep and a goat, is that right?
Yeah, in Chinese astrology, yeah.
So I'm an Aquarius. What is that? That's tiger. Good. Is it tiger?
No, that Chinese and the other astrology different, so don't necessarily relate. The Chinese astrology relates to years, whereas other astrology relates to times when you were born.
So there's hope for me,
yeah. Yeah, I reckon you'll be fine. fine. You're all about the collective consciousness and trying to get people to work together and all that sort
the
of stuff, Jim.
So. I like that. Let me just write that down. So I believe this year that you're going to really get into the, you know, sort of a refocus on podcasts.
Yes. So last year in particular, I did not do, I don't think I did one podcast last year. And I've had quite a few people for a few years saying, come on, when's the next podcast? What are you going to do? So today, actually, I did a podcast with the guys from Which Side Podcast. And that's the first of many, I hope.
So that's online now?
Yes, that's on iTunes now, and it will be on YouTube later on as well. So whenever I do a video now, I'm creating that into a podcast, and whenever I do a podcast, I'm creating that into a video. So I've got all these new gadgets to play with.
So what made you sort of, or what made you think that the podcasts are sort of so efficacious as such?
I guess because people can just listen to them in their own time. I think that's a really good thing. I don't really listen to podcasts myself, other than AFL, Australian Football League. You know, I'm obsessed with that. So
I listen
to AFL podcasts. That's about it. And but yeah, people. I work from home, so I don't travel with public transport that much. If I do travel, like interstate or overseas, I normally read a book or something. Like I'm normally not listening to music all the time, like a lot of people seem to, or listening to something. So I think it's good when people, you know, when they're going to sleep or just even I know some people that just like to mimic my accent. So whatever gets you through.
I think it's a beautiful voice, actually. The tone is just absolutely magnificent. That's okay, a pleasure. But just going on, you're also going to refocus on a new sort of line, if you like, or a new avenue called Epicenter Equilibrium. Would you like to tell our viewers what?
So that's my
my viewers. about Epicenter Equilibrium.
That's like my job. So a lot of people seem to think I make money from Viva La Vegan, which I do not. And so I've been doing social media marketing and content creation for quite a while, and that's the name that I use to do that. And I've also added more speaking and training into that this year. So not necessarily just vegan stuff, so there's a lot of other things that I speak about, or I give advice to people who work with businesses on, so like online etiquette, for example, which is good for kids and schools. I do like events, staging effective events, engaging volunteers, and health related things and vegan stuff as well.
And you've also done a lot of work for Lee Coates, Ethical Investments.
So Cruelty Free Super, that's one of my clients and from day one. They're 100% cruelty free and Australia's only vegan cruelty free super or superannuation company. And it's really bizarre to me that a lot of people don't really know about it or know people don't
Or sometimes it's probably too hard to switch.
I think the thing is because, you know, in America you don't have superannuation at all. They've got the 501. I think that's the charity name, I can't remember now, but you don't have to have it, whereas in Australia
you have to have
a certain amount of your money goes into your superannuation, your retirement fund, so that's what you can live on by the time you finish work. So
it'd be nice to sort of associate with a company that's not sort of working for someone else, exporting animals or
People just don't realize where their money's going to. And in particular, if you're really vocal about veganism or you're an activist yourself and you're going out and you're protesting or you're doing raising awareness to all these things that you're against, and you're supporting all these companies that you like and not supporting ones you dislike, but then all your money, which is probably most of your money that you'll ever have, goes into your superannuation account and into a non-ethical one. A lot of people don't really understand super or don't care. And we have to chase up a lot of people to put in their forms and to switch their superannuation
switch over.
So if you're one of those people, send in your forms.
So you're really going to be pushing this to the max this year?
Yeah.
Epicenter equilibrium.
Epicenter, yeah, definitely. Yeah. In the sort of foundation stages mm-hmm. at the moment. So definitely yeah. halfway through the year we'll be really going.
So where did the name come from? I know what epicenter is, and I know what equilibrium is.
Equilibrium is my favourite word.
Is it?
Yes. And I like alliteration. So I wanted another word that started with E. So I'm like, what can I have? And it means like the centre of balance.
My favourite word is efficacious.
Is it? Yeah. Okay, yes. Good.
Aren't people funny? But no, that is absolutely great. I'll tell you though, something I've always wanted to ask you while I've got the opportunity is that why did you give up singing? Maybe a lot of your new fans aren't aware, but go to YouTube and check out Lee's singing and recitations as well.
Spoken word, yeah. Mm. All I ever wanted to do since I was younger was just to be a rock star. That was my primary goal. Nothing
else
mattered. That was it. Yeah. And then, I got into more of the vegan stuff and became a bit more, not so self-centered maybe. Mm-hmm. And it was just more about other things than myself, which music can be very self-involving.
Mm-hmm.
And I just did, music here and there. I've recorded some CDs and some EPs and done a lot of spoken words and performed. And I started doing my festival in 2009, and pretty much that took over my life for 3 years at least.
Mm-hmm.
So that music to me just became
way down on the bottom.
No, it was just way down on the bottom of my list of priorities.
Yeah.
And it sort of flipped because it used to be everything. Mm-hmm. You know, I used to watch, we have a music program in Australia called Rage every Friday night, early Saturday morning. They have all the new releases. I always used to tape it.
I'd watch it all the time.
I'd buy those CDs on Monday at work because I used to work in music retail. I'd read all the music street press. I'd get them, NME from the UK sent to me. I'd get Sydney Street Press, Drum Media. I'd get everything sent to me. I just loved it.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Yeah.
And then it's also like any scene, I think, is hard to be in for
a long
time.
You sort of know the time has come to move on.
And I just was sick of the scene. I was sick of a lot of the people within it. And I just sort of needed a break. And it's been really good. Like when I went to Asia the first time a couple of years ago, I saw my guitar and I was planning on getting a travel guitar and actually writing while I was on the road. But I ended up meeting the Indonesian Vegetarian Society and General Manager, and they invited me to all these events. Mm-hmm. So half of my time was all these events, which is obviously what I'm meant to be here for, but that wasn't really the plan for writing and working on some books and trying to chill out. Yes. So, but now I'm at the stage where I'd like to get back into it, and
you told me a few weeks ago that you might write some more songs.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I just need to be in that sort of headspace, I guess. And I'm just feeling right at this moment, feeling a bit overwhelmed with everything that's happening. So it just keeps going down to the bottom.
Well, I think as I said to you before, I don't know how you do it, or you just you have to be so organised and totally professional in what you're doing.
Yeah.
And it does show through because you are getting results.
Yeah.
And I think people love you to bits. We can see that on social media. Mm-hmm. The thousands that love you on G+, and not to mention
almost 20,000.
Yeah, it's amazing how quickly it's gone up.
Jim keeps tab of that.
That's my job. But it is amazing, isn't it? It really is. So do you think you'll ever come out of retirement and give us a few more tunes?
Yeah, well, definitely. Like I'm feeling like I'm inspired to do it, and I need to write more positive stuff because most of my songs were heartbreak stuff, which I don't enjoy singing it. I don't want to be reminded of that person I was or those people that I liked anymore. So it has to be new, and I really like most of my life is about inspiring people and being positive, so I want to bring that across in the music as well. And I have quite a few people that I can write with, and some people that I meet. I'm thinking I've got a couple of friends that we might do just a few little cover songs online YouTube for a while, so check out my Lee Chantel channel for that.
But one day,
exactly, and that's it. I want it to be fun more than you know, when I was just out of school, that was mm-hmm. what I wanted to be my job. It's very hard to yeah. have music as a job and a career nowadays. Mm-hmm. So, and yeah, I guess when, I think it's just with most things in life, if you don't have any expectations, yeah. you know, you can enjoy it a bit more. So yeah, definitely, Jim, you'll be one of the first to know about I'm sure.
I just can't wait. May I say too, just talking about inspiration, that you have been a really big inspiration in me. Following, I don't want to get all morbid and gloomy, but my wife died about 18 months ago, and I was in a bit of a blue hole. And this lady here inspired me. She motivated me. She gave me a sort of a figurative kick up the backside, if you like, and got me more involved in activism. And she really got me moving. So I do owe you a debt of gratitude for that.
Thank you, Jim.
That's okay, pleasure. Now for a hard question.
Yeah.
How do you think the vegan movement, the world vegan movement, is going at present?
Oh, it depends where you are in the world, I guess. Like in Israel, it's going amazingly well mm-hmm. at the moment. They just seem to be having success after success, yeah. and in mainstream mm-hmm. news, like I find that so impressive. In Australia, in America, stalling a bit, mm-hmm. maybe treading water. Mm-hmm. I find, especially the past 5 years in particular, I've really noticed people just aren't working together anymore. Like, everyone seems to be just into promoting their own thing.
Everyone seems to have their own sort of vested interests and agendas and that.
Yeah.
What do you think about the big vegan supermarkets coming out of Germany and that?
Yeah, that's amazing.
Veganize, I think, isn't it?
I don't know the name, but it's amazing if you can find
so much choice.
If you can find the space, the right mm-hmm. place, the right market, and the people to go there. Like my friend Jess, who runs a cruelty free shop mm-hmm. in Sydney, and just launched one in
hasn't
Melbourne.
Hasn't that been a success too?
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's gone so well.
You know, I was there for the opening night. I was there for the first day for the public, and I was mm-hmm. flat out.
Yeah.
You know, and it's amazing when you see, but. You know, keep in mind, in Melbourne, Jess has an amazing position. Mm-hmm. It's like in a vegan pub, next to a vegan store, opposite a vegetarian, mm-hmm. really sort of popular restaurant.
But obviously it's a sort of a case of the right location with the right products at the right time.
Exactly, course, and she's an amazing business person too. She's been doing it for 14 years online. So
I think too, you've got to have the right staff as well, credible sort of people who understand what veganism is all about, really.
Yeah. And also, one of my friends who's non-vegan, when we were driving past on the way to her place, or just been there recently, she was saying the store looks really new and it looks inviting, because next to all the other stores, they're a bit dark and they haven't been updated, and hers is white with green, and it just looks inviting.
Oh, that's great. Now, what's the future for Leaf and apart from, you're refocusing with the podcast and Epicenter Equilibrium, what else are you sort of looking to, or what else would you like to achieve in the sort of the short to mid-term?
Well, I guess, you know, I've decided to stick around home Brisbane, Australia, for the next 2 years, just to really focus on Epicenter stuff. So my main focus is the speaking and the training stuff and the corporate sort of events and you know, that's good to actually make that decision, and I'm not traveling unless someone pays for it, so it's good to have that as a boundary, because I've just been traveling so much lately, and that's good. And then so that's my sort of professional side of things, and doing more books. You know, you've got some books working on at the moment, ebooks or waves, and the podcast and YouTube. So
more recipe books.
Yeah, more recipe books, probably. Smoothies will be the next one I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Just sort of working with my tribe that I have in person or in online.
Yeah.
And, just seeing, you know, what we can all achieve together. Like musically, I'd like to at least do some covers online and have some fun with that. And, I think about travel every day, but, you know, I'm hopefully do that sooner rather than later, and I'd like my
Where would you like to go? What's your next sort of top destination?
Well, my top is Galapagos Island. I really want to go there.
Charles Darwin country.
Yep. but I haven't been to the UK or the Europe before, so that will probably be the next place to go.
So I was born in Scotland.
And I'd like to, you know, I've met some really great German and Italian friends when I was overseas, so I want to visit them and see their countries and where they live. And I'm looking forward to that. And I also want to go to where the Bronte sisters live. So they're my sort of main things. And I've got some friends in the UK I want to hang out with and go to a couple of the events there. But
I believe the vegan scene in the UK is very... very dynamic.
Yes, in certain pockets.
In certain pockets, yeah. But certainly that'll be something to maybe a new adventure for you.
Yeah, and I've sort of done the US, Australia, Asian sort of areas quite well. And
Did you find the Americans in particular a lot more sort of articulate than the Australians? I'm not. They just sort of come across as more sort of more animated, more outspoken. Not so reticent in coming forward and making...
Well, definitely, the Australian accent is very hard for most people to understand. If you don't speak English as your first language, it's really horrible, actually. And it's harsh, even for my ears, to hear a lot of the Australian accent. So, yeah, if people can't understand you, that's always going to be an issue. But I find with Americans, they just have that... they're just very confident, and in Australia we call it the tall poppy syndrome. So if you even have some level of success, people will cut you down as soon as they can. In America, you know, it's just like, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, and everyone's like, yeah, go for it. Oh, I did that last week, you know. So it's very, and I'm generalizing, but it's more sort of conductive, especially in places like LA, that there's all these new sort of things that come all the time, and people are just behind them, and you've got so many more people there, therefore more money to support, like, you know, all the startup sort of things or the grassroots things.
Well, sort of, you yourself are a bit of a tall poppy. Have you been sort of has anyone tried to cut you down to size, so to speak?
Oh yes, I'm
Have
sure.
You?
Yes.
How do you sort of handle that?
I guess, you know, I try to have a conversation in person with people if it's an issue.
What if it's online and someone sort of you've raised a particular point or something like that, and they don't want to let go, or they won't listen to reason, or...
I don't really get involved in anything online. I just, for me, it's not a conductive way to use my time, so I would never do that. So, I would, if someone raises something to me, and they say something, I'll just say something like, thanks for the comments. Because I appreciate people's feedback.
Taking the time,
But I'm not going to go, here's where I disagree with you, 1 to 10 points, because then that just opens up them coming back to you with 10 more points and you going back to them. And I literally do not have time for that. And I don't want to let negativity sort of thrive. Like, I'm more for the positive aspects, and I value anyone's opinion, whether or not I agree with it, and whether or not it's something I'd want to promote. That people are entitled to their opinion.
I think that's really good advice for new advocates on that, for sure.
But it's hard, you know. And also, a lot of people have some issues, personal issues, that they're maybe trying to deal with or haven't dealt with
and
properly.
You don't
know what people are going through, and you don't know where they are in their stage in life. You know, I find it's just really easy for people to be angry. It's really easy for people to be mean to people. But it takes a lot to rise above that and just, you know, just be nice. And, you know, that's what I'm trying to promote to people. Just be compassionate to everyone, animals, humans, everyone, the planet, yourself as well. So,
Hatred or anger doesn't win any friends.
No, definitely. Anyone who says things, like, I wish them well. I come from love and peace and compassion, so I hope the best for those sort of people, because they're the ones, you know, that need our love the most.
And what do you think about the state of activism at the moment?
I think it's a hard one, because so many people have different interpretations of what
sort of
activism is.
Do you think we're heading in the right direction?
I think we're stalling a lot. I think people are just too people are just investing too much time in drama than actually doing things. And I said to the guys from Which Side podcast actually today that I think a lot of people seem to think if they're just aware of an issue or they just share an issue or comment on an issue that that's enough. So in particular, that's what Facebook and those things have not been good for, maybe. Like, it's been amazing to spread the word. But then when you know about it, what do you do with it?
Yeah.
So that's, I think that's the trick. So instead of, and I think it's a really sort of competitive and a judgmental way. So for me, one of my things this year I'm doing actually is, you know, try not to be judgmental.
Do you think it's a case too in some areas that, that people are sort of really emotionally connected to animal rights, but they don't know what to do?
Yeah, definitely, because and that's sort of where I was going with that train of thought was like there's a lot of people that say this is activism, this is not activism, you shouldn't be doing this, you should be doing this, only this, only this. Some people are not good at protests, some people are not good at speaking to people, some people are not good at handing out leaflets. You find the thing that you're good at and you do it, and you do it well. And you know, that's I think that's a really simple thing, but I think people just forget how important they themselves are, and how important the things that they know can actually make some change. Like, you yourself can really make some change.
Well, I think we have seen that over the years since 2006 with you know, with you in particular. You have I'm sure you've created many many new vegans and some many new activists as well.
Hope so.
I'm sure you have. Yeah.
I just like to plant the seeds. That's, you know,
that's all you can do, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can't force people.
No, you can't. And I used to think that when I first became vegan, just because I found the facts and then I went vegan, and I just assumed everyone else would be like that, and that's just not true.
That's not so easy, is it?
It's hard when you realise that, but I'm not as attached to outcomes anymore as I used to be, which is really good.
Yeah.
And it frees me.
That is so good. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you,
Jim. I hope I haven't let you down.
No, good job. Good interviewer.
Do you think there's a future there? Or?
Oh, maybe, yeah.
I could be online shortly with my own, my own
channel. Own podcast, own YouTube channel.
I don't think
Why
so.
Not?
I'm more the backroom type. But thank you so much for all your time.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you for watching. And see vivalavegan.net for more information.
And don't forget the cookbook.
Bye.
Thank you.